Moses to lead all his people out. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he thought he'd give them the rout. So he chased them all down to the Red Sea shore. He thought he wouldn't have to worry about Moses anymore. But Moses stretched his rod out over the sea, and the Lord answered Moses with a little gentle breeze. I can see Moses now with a smile on his face, hearing all the people with his gentle grace. To fight the giants. Everyone laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Beside mighty Goliath seemed such a puny little thing. But David said, you come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He put in a stone and he gave it a flame. And when he left his hand, David, he began to sing.
Ladies and gentlemen, greetings in the great name of Yahweh. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, and we welcome you in here tonight. We got a great program for you. I want you to stay tuned. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in the last days. We're going to talk about the most disturbing aspect of life and the least understood, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. But if you notice that we all have to go through this because it's once appointed. Now, I'm talking about tonight's subject, death. Have you ever thought about dying? Have you ever thought about the hereafter? Will you live again? You know, Job asked that question in 14:14. He said, if a man lives and dies, will he live again? Well, that's what we're going to try to answer tonight in starting this brand new series. And tonight we're going to deal with the end of the wicked, the death of the wicked. There is a difference between those who have life and those who are wicked. We're going to find out what that is. If it's true that hell is real, love is eternally frustrated, and heaven will be a place of mourning and concern for the lost if we retain our earthly memories. So if eternal hell is real, but we're going to examine the words and the language and the descriptive and titles of death, and we're going to talk about the end of the wicked. Romans 6:23. Listen to me. For the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sins, it shall die. The original Greek and Hebrew words for death and die mean to cease to exist or to perish eternally. Well, if you look at Peter, and what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, he says that they will be blotted out of existence, literally. Well, how complete will that be? 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Now, that sounds like that destruction goes on and on and on. But death is the final destruction, and we're going to prove it to you. The word, the Greek word, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9 is Olitheros, which means destruction, and is the same as the English word, which means to ruin, to demolish, to abolish, or to annihilate. So then, death is the final and absolute end for the wicked. The Bible says that they that are dead know nothing. And that's the way it should be. Ceasing to exist. And if the wicked are made for destruction, and you say, well, Pastor Buddy, everybody can be saved. Well, listen to the scripture here. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, I'll repeat that. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Now, let me give you a scripture here to back that one up. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this is the man that's got the keys to the kingdom, according to the book of Matthew chapter 16. But these, this Peter's writing, but these as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that when their life of sinning and brutish ways are ended, that there is a climactic end for the wicked, because the dead know nothing. Well, the word perish means to be destroyed, to pass away, to come to an end, to be lost, to die. The Greek word is apolium, which means, again, to be destroyed. So the proper words in there, as opposed to some people thinking that the wicked are going to be roasted and toasted for eternity in some flame and fire. Let me show you what Psalms 37 verse 20 says, David. But the wicked shall perish. Now, perish means to pass away, come to an end, lost, or to die, or to be dead. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat lambs, they shall be consumed into smoke, and they shall be blown away, like smoke vanishes. The wicked shall perish. The word consume means to destroy the substance of, or especially by fire or decomposition. Now, let's look at the meaning of the word hell. The word hell is a frightening word in the New Testament for a lot of people. But did you know that most of the time, the word hell is translated as grave? Christ referred to those walking sepulchers or graves that walked around in a body of flesh that had life, but he still referred to them as dead men, full of dead men's bones. That's exactly what he said. That means that the wicked has no promise of eternal life. If the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, our church teaches that anybody can come in and repent and find the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's not lost. First of all, you don't find him. If you're his, he finds you. He comes to search you out, according to Ezekiel chapter 34. That is the sheep and the shepherd chapter. Ezekiel chapter 34. It goes directly to the Gospel of St. John in chapter 10. The verse of Psalms 16 and 10 is a reference of grave. Thou shalt not leave my soul in Sheol, which is hell, translated hell, Sheol. Hebrew, for the grave. So they put hell for the grave, and most places it is mistranslated. The grave. Neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. It's a prediction, that verse indicates that it is, of death, burial, and the resurrection of our eternal Savior. And he did not go into hell fire, but he went into the grave and went and preached. Now listen to me well. Because the continuation, revelation, is described in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul gives us a part of the mystery, that he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, we would describe it from an earthly third dimension standpoint. From our view, he was dead. The soldiers actually rolled stones into the tomb to make sure that nobody stole his body, that his followers could announce to the people that he had risen. And so, therefore, they set a sure watch upon his gravesite. Well, we know his body died. Here the Son of Yahweh, that eternal body that was chosen to come into the world, for God was in the world reconciling the world unto himself. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word, Yahweh, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now they killed that body. He let it die. Three things that left the body upon the torture stake. When they pierced him, out came water and blood. It was a symbol of the eternalness of our Creator. The last thing to leave his body was the Holy Spirit, which was Yahweh himself. So Yahweh gave up the ghost, or left the body, and it was dead. It died. Then he lowered himself into the dimension of what we describe as hell. Well, the Bible don't describe it as hell. I've got news for you. It described it as a literal paradise. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18. Listen to me well. He, by the same Spirit, went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Now, Paul described this paradise in the Gospel of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that he went there. Now, he said, whether in the body or out, I don't know. But I do know one thing, that I heard things that wasn't lawful for me to speak. So we are restricted because the Bible says that the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up. Who? For the wicked? No. Laid up for them that love him and are called with a holy calling. Remember, the gospel hid is hid to them as law. So there's a people that will never, the Bible said the wicked will never stand before him. And the gospel being hid to them, it's lost, simply because he didn't want them to find the keys to the entrance of the kingdom. Now, he went and preached, Peter says, to the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah. Did you know that? Did you know that our God, our Yahweh, left his physical body? He was in a body of flesh, born of a woman. He went and preached to the souls that were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Therein, wherein, few there were that were saved, souls were saved by water. The like figure, even baptism, doth now save us. So if you've repented and been baptized in the name of Yahweh and lived with a holy calling, you got to have a calling, ladies and gentlemen. You can be like Simon the sorcerer when he saw the works of the mighty apostle Philip. When he saw him conducting the great works of an evangelist, doing the works of the evangelist in the city of Samaria, he offered money for this great power and this tremendous talent and gift that was bestowed upon Philip. And when Peter, James, and John came down, they rebuked him for his wickedness and told him, your money will perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the church will dole out for concessions, especially if you're a big giver. They will promise you liberty when they themselves are servants of corruption and they are hiding in the literal hell or the black darkness of the death that surrounds them. Oh, they look like they're alive, but Christ referred to them as walking sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And so then, darkness that is enshrouded, when Satan and his angels was cast out of the presence of Yahweh, this is the darkness which has come to the earth because of the presence of the prince of darkness, which is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. The prince of darkness. According to the Bible, now listen to me well, all men go to the grave, or Sheol, or Hades, at death. And there has to be a reckoning for a difference of those that live again versus those that will never see life. And here it is. Let's go to Job chapter 30, verse 23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house that is appointed for all living. All living things die. Every day your cells begin to deteriorate. I don't care where you are, just a young newborn baby, just when you start breathing and taking in oxygen, your cells, oh, they prosper for a while, and youth and all of the things that create vanity. The Bible said to seek Yahweh in the days of your... If you're smart, you're going to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If I wait, Job said, the grave is my house. It's once appointed for you to die, and we go the way of the grave. But is there a difference? I want to point out that there has to be a difference between those who are appointed to life and those who are appointed to death. Job, listen as we read in 30:23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death. So the death angel waits patiently. Now you may have a span. The Bible said that your days are numbered. Every man, woman, and child comes in with a set of numbers. Immediately, the time starts ticking. It's either ticking for you or against you. Now, the wicked have no promise, but the Bible says, to die is gain for the righteous. Now, that's the difference between the two that I like to discuss here in our series on death. You have a wonderful promise because the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve Him. Now, to love Him, you must be loved. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? That means that He had to know you before the foundation of the world. That's what that means. That means that he had to call you before the foundation of the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth. That's the dust body that Adam was made from. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And the spirit, here's the difference, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now what about Cain's spirit? You think that Cain's spirit is going to return to God because he was wicked? And the Bible said he was of that wicked one. His spirit is not going to return. It can't. It's got a damnation and an end to its existence when the end comes. Genesis 2 and 7, listen. And Yahweh formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the neshama, and man became a living soul. Does everyone go to the grave at death? Psalms 89:48. Listen to me as David the psalmist. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Now, ladies and gentlemen, Ecclesiastes just got through telling you that when man dies, we're talking about Yahweh that formed man, then the Bible says that he, the spirit, will go back to Yahweh, but the body, the dust man, will go back to the dust. So that dust man is nothing but dust. And man will never retain again the body, that present body that he's in. You see, this is a sinful body, and sin bodies cannot enter into the kingdom. Therefore, it is stated, and rightfully so, that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. That's why you got to die. But the spirit man, we're going to get into the aspect of how this spirit man will ascend and take on a body likened unto his glorious body. Okay? So, when Christ comes to you, when you are found, when he finds you, then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, Paul speaking about the death and the grave, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a people that the grave will not have victory over. The grave cannot hold you if you are, or if you belong to the God of the living. Now, there is a God of the dead. That is Satan. If you serve him, you will remain dead. And you have no hope. And you have no future. But if you're Yahweh's, O death, where is your sting? Although everyone that is righteous will taste death, death can't hold you in the ground. Your spirit does not go to the ground and get into that grave and they tamp dirt over your body and pack it down and put a tombstone to your head. You're not there. The bones of the physical man, which will become dust, is there. But the spirit man has done gone on back to Yahweh from whence it came, according to Ecclesiastes, where we read that the spirit will go back to Yahweh. Death is an enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, we sorrow when our loved ones go to the grave. But we can thank our Heavenly Father that blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh. Because Yahweh gave us a statement in the Gospel of St. John that is so alarming to the physical man. Mary said, well, Master, I know when he said that Lazarus would raise again. Well, I know he'll raise in the resurrection. And Christ said, I am the resurrection. And he that believeth in me shall never, 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 never have death. Now listen to me again. Although that physical body, that heartbeat, that electrical charge ceases to exist, that chemical composition that makes up your being for the physical man to function and to bring life into the body, it is the spirit that is life. The flesh profits nothing. So when that spirit takes its flight, the body is dead. It ceases to exist. The spirit goes back to Yahweh, or back into the spiritual element that it came from. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the very beginning. 1 Corinthians talks about, O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? This is the promise to the righteous. You don't have to die. Although your physical man dies, you can't die. It's impossible for life to die that is in you. And in you is life, and that life is the light of man. And Christ said to her, I am the resurrection, and if you believe in me, you will never die. That means death is opposite. Death can't hold you. You don't have to go by the way of the grave, or hell, or Sheol. You don't have to be dead. Praise Yahweh. And you go right on to your reward just as soon as your spirit man leaves that body. I'll give you for an instance. In the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, they stoned Stephen, starting about the 52nd verse of Acts chapter 7, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon Yahweh, and said, Yahweh, receive my spirit. Now remember, that flesh body, they were beating it to a pulp. They were stoning him with stones. The stones was crushing his skull. Blood was literally pouring from the gaping wounds of the savagery of the beating that he took at the hands of those who claimed to be Jews. These unbelieving Sadducees who do not believe in a resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a sect of people that does not believe in the resurrection. They have no hope. They think that they're just material, and as soon as they die, it's all over, with no hope of the resurrection. But listen to what Paul said. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. Now, what that means, that you're not over in the dead graveyard. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, for we shall be changed in a moment. Just as soon as that spirit man is free of the physical body, it's actually a literally walking graveyard. And Christ said that at death, he was the resurrection. So everyone that has a promise in him for the resurrection are blessed because they never die. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Well, the last trump is when you take your last breath. You say, oh, I'm waiting for Gabriel to blow the trumpet. Well, the death angel just blowed it for you. What are you going to do? Are you going to have a time to repent? I don't think so. Christ said, well, when the rich man went down to his torment, he asked and begged for someone to persuade his brothers not to come down there. But he said, they won't believe the one rose from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not resurrection material, you're not going to raise with him. If you are resurrection material, when you die, you are instantly raised with him and you won't sleep because he's a God of the living, not the dead. Now, do you understand where I'm coming from? You don't have to lay in some lonesome graveyard and have somebody to bring flowers over to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the composition of dust. Look at the literal bodies of flesh strewn across the earth. Generation and layer after layer and generation after generation of dead men's bones that have gone back to the dust, and you can't tell the dust from the bones or the bones from the dust. In time, all of the physical bodies will be dead, and the dead know nothing. It is the spirit that quicketh, for life is in the spirit. For the trumpet shall sound. That's when the call for you to leave your physical body, when that silver cord is loosed at the trump. That trump is a electronic vibration at the moment of separation of spirit and flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you had a choice after the separation to come back into that physical body that's probably been racked with pain and sickness and disease and corruption, when that spirit is loose from it, it's like a fish that has been taken out of an alien environment and put back in its proper environment. That's what the spirit is. When it takes its flight, it don't want to come back. It has no reason to want to come back because it's not of this earth. That spirit man is from another dimension and is alien to this earth because we walk here not as those of the earth, for they of the earth love the earth and love the world, and they that love the world, the love of the Father's not in them. So when they die, they have a permanent death, and they know nothing. But with the righteous, not so, because they can truly say, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, in other words, when the physical body drops off and the spirit man needs another body, it gets it instantly, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, raised incorruptible, when you put on the incorruptible, puts on the uncorruptible body. That uncorruptible body means that it'll be a body like unto his glorious body. Now, he had the power. We know when he raised up, he was seen 40 days and 40 nights, and he did eat and drink with them. According to Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he ate and drank with them after he rose from the dead. And you're going to have a body just like him. If you want to come to this dimension, the third dimension, you can do so. Some have entertained angels unaware. You may be in the presence of an angel, and yet he looks like he's got a physical body, and you wouldn't recognize it, because all of Yahweh's children are angels entombed in flesh. These are the ones that are proving themselves worthy to go back with him, because heaven was turned out. Everything in heaven was turned out, inside out, and we all had to prove and earn our stripes through the healing balm of Gilead when we have this box, this little temple here, when it is broken by death. Then the spirit takes its flight and it's changed and raised incorruptible, and we are changed for eternity
and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thine victory? The promise is that the Eternal One gave us the right to overcome even death. Death can't hold him, and death won't hold you, because you're going to be raised incorruptible. The immortal man, the man that will live after the death of the physical body, changed when he can sing the song, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The Messiah promised us that we would be with him wherever he is. Well, if he's in you, you're going to be with him. If you're with him, he's in you. And if you're in him, he's in you. So then, just at the moment of the transfiguration, death sets the tone. When the trumpet of death shall sound, and you will not breathe any more natural air or oxygen, you'll never want any more natural food. You'll have a food to eat that the world knows not of. This is the promise of the resurrection to them that are his. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 18. Listen as I read. For if the dead raise not, then Christ is not raised. Now listen to me again. For if the dead raise not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just as soon as that flesh body drops to the ground, or falls over the table, or dies in the bed, wherever it is, in the hospital, if you are a righteous seed born from above, at that moment, the dead will raise incorruptible. You will put on immortality, instantly clothed with the body, and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You say, well, that'll be at the resurrection, Pastor Buddy. He said, I am the resurrection. You see, ladies and gentlemen, everybody wants to stage it to a final get-to-go when everybody's going to have a chance to do this and a chance to do that. Your chance is right now while you're living, while you're breathing. If you don't get it right here, you ain't going to get it right over there. If you don't walk right here, you ain't going to walk right over there. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. The flesh man is born to go to the dust. He's born to die. But the spirit man, that is, if the spirit of Yahweh is in you, if you're his from the foundation of the world, if you're called with a holy calling, you can wait for your flight home. And it happens at the moment that you draw your last breath. Then shall the spirit man, and the Bible teaches emphatically that there is a inward man and that there is an outward man. The inward man goes back to Yahweh, if so be that he belongs to Yahweh. Now, if you're not Yahweh's, you're none of his. And so then, there's a separation. And that's the difference between the wicked and the righteous. The righteous will never die. The wicked are already dead. They just don't know it. They're still breathing in a material body. But as soon as that death, that last tick of the old ticker, when they draw their last breath and they have a last trump, death swallows them up, and their corruption remains corruptible. They will never be cleansed. They will never be changed. They will forever be dead and shall perish, literally perish, in the corruption of Kor. Where are the wicked? The Bible talks about death in hell, or Hades, and the grave. We're cast into the lake of fire. Now, what death is that? The Bible said there is a death, a natural death. Then it talks about a second death. Now, the second death is for the judgment of those who are unworthy of the grace and the promise and the hope of the change, because they refused it, because they made your life so miserable, and because the wicked ruled over you, and they whipped you with many stripes like they did him. They evilly entreated you. There has to be a reward for the wicked, Satan and his angels. Just as there are good angels here, Satan and his angels are entombed. You'll run onto them every day. And you'll see. Fear not, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now listen to that. Both soul and body. So the wicked who do not fear him, it is the righteous that fear. And the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. To fear him and to reverence him, the man of wisdom shall see his name, and the man of wisdom will get in it. The man of wisdom will put that name on. The man of wisdom will repent. The man of wisdom will pray and fast and seek him and wade out into the water and will be immersed for the remission of sins through water baptism in the name of Yahweh. That's the only way that your sins can be remitted according to the Bible. You say, well, I prayed them off me, glory to God. You can't pray your sins off of you. You got to obey them off of you. Why call me Yahweh and do not the things or obey what I say to do? He that says he loves Yahweh and won't keep his commandments is a liar, and no liars have eternal life. I don't care what you claim, ladies and gentlemen. It's not those that go down to some altar and repent and get slapped on the back by a bunch of silly people and false prophets and promise you liberty when they themselves are the very servants of the resurrection of corruption. When they die, they're dead, deceived, being deceived, and twice dead. The living know that they shall die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The living know that they shall die. The living know that they shall die. I know that I'm going to die. I know that physically speaking, I will die. But I know spiritually that death can't hold me. That I'm going to never die spiritually. That I'm alive forevermore instantly. I don't have to lay in some lonesome graveyard waiting for the resurrection, because I am in the resurrection, because the resurrection is in me. And I'll never die. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The dead, the wicked, the dead know nothing. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Their love for one another. Did you know that the world loves one another? But the Bible said, love not the world, but the world loves the world, and those that of the world love the world. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Psalms 146, verse 4. His breath goeth forth. He returns to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. The wicked breath goeth forth, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. The dead know nothing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly how the wicked will be destroyed. when it says the wicked are going to be destroyed by the brightness of His coming. Ladies and gentlemen, His coming is in you. Their coming is in the earth. Back to the earth, from the earth, and they shall never live because they have no eternal life dwelling in them. He's not the God of the dead. And most people think they worship more of the graveyard than they do the living. They've got more sympathy and spend more money for the dead than they do on the living. They'll pass you up. And you crawling in a ditch line, naked and wounded, the prodigal sons are in a hurry to go over to the graveyard and to worship mom and daddy over to the graveyard. And they'll pass you up in their Cadillacs. They'll deny you food. They'll deny you a handshake or fellowship or a warm place to sleep. Especially around Christmas time when all of this Santa Claus and Jingle Bell crap is going on. And everybody's being merry and sending presents to one another. That's the dead. The dead, according to Psalms 6 and 5, have no remembrance of thee. The dead, for in death there is no remembrance of Yahweh. Oh my. You know why? Because they didn't have none to start with. Psalms 115:17. The dead praise not Yahweh, neither any that go down into silence. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the graveyard, and that's the only hope you've got is the grave. It is the grave, which is hell, which is the end of the road for you, because you'll know nothing, and you will stay silent, and you won't know anything, and your envy and love and hatred, anything that you had, is but a memory, for the carnal mind is not subject to Yahweh, and neither, indeed, can be. Fear Him, Matthew 10:28, which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Until neither root nor branch is left, he says. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. I've got to hurry. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. The day comes when they shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, all them that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. It shall leave them neither root nor branch. They can't reproduce. They can't bring forth. The dead know nothing. The dead can't do anything. But again, let me quote, and I'll get on to this next Sunday night on part two of the Revelation of Death that we will teach on the righteous. Here we've taught on the wicked and the separation between the wicked and the righteous. But the righteous have an eternal hope because they have a Creator who is not dead, who is alive forevermore, and has the keys of hell and death. He's not the God of the dead. Have you never read Revelation chapter 20, verse 9? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints round about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The second death is for those eternal beings that would not obey Him, would not let Him rule over them. He said, bring them before me and slay them and cast them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Oh man, I can't wait for that. You'll see these fancy damn false prophets. These great evangelists that have swooped over the world and done an injustice to truth when they have made the converts two for more the child of hell than they were to begin with when they offer them liberty. They themselves are just in a three-piece business suit wearing $1,000 shoes and $10,000 Gucci suits, flying in Lear jets, spending poor people's money while they promise them liberty. They themselves are more wicked and full of corruption. No wonder they'll perish in corruption. No wonder they will not get no body. No wonder they will have no resurrection. No wonder their memory will perish from the earth. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Forever may only mean as long as the carnal man lives. Exodus 21, verse 2. Listen to me as I read and close it out. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go free for nothing. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Our ears have been pierced to hear the gospel. Our hearts have been pierced to become slaves to the kinship of the kinsman redeemer. We love him because he first loved us. We serve him because he first served us. We know him because he first knew us. And we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But to the sheep he shall say, Come. Come, my children. You think he's going to lose one of his children? You think when the Lamb's book is opened, and one of his sheep is not on there, don't you think he'll extend time until all are saved and none are lost? Ladies and gentlemen, we serve the most wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent Creator who loved us while we were yet in our sins. While we'd done nothing good or nothing bad. He didn't choose us because we were good or bad. He chose us because we were His. And with that in mind, bear in mind that the wicked are not His. He ain't coming for the wicked. He's coming for the righteous. The wicked will go to the grave and they know nothing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write me tonight, we're live here on December the 14th in the year 2008. WWCR, Clear Channel, around the world tonight, right out of Nashville, Tennessee. Write me a letter. If you're encouraged by my words, if you've been blessed by the message, if you think you're one of the chosen ones, come let us have fellowship together. I need your help and support. Just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to have this series, we'll either do a two or three part, we are not sure. But if you'd like to have the series, just ask for the death series, and Pastor Buddy will be glad to send it to you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's where you confess Him and His true name. If you obey that form of gospel that was delivered to you, if you can prove yourself worthy, My sheep will hear My voice, and a stranger He will not follow. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live. Just call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like, ladies and gentlemen, you can have this series or any series that Pastor Buddy does here live on WWCR 5070 around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Now, tomorrow night, I'll be live on WWRB 3.185 right out of Manchester, Tennessee. We're going to be live around the world tomorrow night. And ladies and gentlemen, coming very soon, WWRB will have the simulcasting abilities to simulcast our message on computer downloads or on your dish, wherever that you are downloading this tonight. WWRB will have that simulcasting ability coming very soon to radio station WWRB 3.185. I'll be live tomorrow night at 9 p.m. That's on Monday night at 9 p.m. I'll be live with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Tune us in, and we'd be glad to have you do so. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you would like to call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-8734. If you'd like to call him, or my friend Brother Paul, and I have lost his number here, but I'll try to get that number out to you as soon as I can. Brother Paul, a good friend of mine, just call me tonight and I'll give you Paul's number. But we love you, and we would like to have you to write us or call us. I'll see you next Sunday night live on WWCR with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Until tomorrow night on WWRB, I'll see you. Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Because you know what? Yahweh, He's good. And you know why He's good? Because He proved it. He made a way for you to escape the damnation and the hell and the torment that is coming upon all the earth to try a man. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to stand fast in His holy word, and be ye not ashamed, look for the author and the finisher of your faith, for He's coming to a neighborhood near you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday night, live on WWCR 5070, right out of Nashville, Tennessee. Yahweh bless you.